Good afternoon and welcome to For the Cause of Christ, the radio ministry of the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood. The church is under the direction of its pastor, John Lutz. Stay tuned for a message straight and direct from the Word of God. Here now with this week's message is Pastor John Lutz.
Well, good afternoon. This is actually Pastor Al Davis sitting in for Pastor Lutz today. And it's good to be with you today. And just a beautiful day here in northeastern Ohio. Pastor Lutz had to be away today and he asked me to sit in. And I just want to thank him again for filling in for me last week on our program. Actually, I called from the Summit County Fair and he manned the station here in case we had difficulty there. And so I want to thank him for doing that last week and then thank him for allowing me to sit in on his program here today. And so hopefully it will be a blessing to you. And we are going to get started here with a couple of things. Just a reminder, is I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And I will be on again at 1:30 for our program live with Pastor Al. So I hope you'll be able to stick with that and join in the conversation there. We'll have open phone lines at 1:30 for live with Pastor Al. But right now, this is For the Cause of Christ, Pastor Lutz and the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio. There's more information on that coming up here at the end of the broadcast. And then, of course, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And we meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. And we meet, as I said, in Holiday Inn Express in the meeting room there. We're there every Friday night. We'll be there tonight at 6 o'clock for our Friday night Bible study. At 7 o'clock. And it runs usually about 2 hours, and then we have refreshments, informal thing. And usually people stand around talk for about an hour or so afterwards as well. But then we have our morning services there on Sunday morning, 10 o'clock morning Bible study, 11 o'clock morning service, and then at 6 o'clock on Sunday evening is our evening service. So if you're in the area and don't have a church, we'd love to have you visit us. Of course, if you're in the Lakewood area or on western side of Cuyahoga County, west side of Cleveland, let me encourage you to visit the North Coast Baptist Church, Pastor John Lutz, and be a definite blessing to you. And then stay tuned for our program live with Pastor Al at 1:30. And then, of course, we have Pastor Andy Resnacko of the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid coming up at 2 o'clock. So an hour and a half of listening here. If you can take the time to do it, let me encourage you to do it. And certainly Pastor Resnacko will bless you. I always like how he has a list of several things that the Bible says about something or that God says about something. It's always a blessing. I like listening to that on my way home when I leave my broadcast. So let me encourage you to stay tuned for that. Well, you can find out more about me at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And then, of course, Pastor Lutz and Lakewood there, the North Coast Baptist Church, their website will come up here at the bottom of the, or the end of the broadcast. I'd give it now, but I know I'd mess it up, so I don't want to do that, so I'll let that come at the end of the broadcast. Well, I want to share with you something today, and I had a real blessing. I was helping out with Bruce Musselman, and some of our listeners are familiar with Bruce Musselman. Bruce Musselman has been around here in Northeast Ohio for quite a number of years. He's been quite a blessing and serving God and helping start churches and encourage churches and pastors. And he's been on the radio for quite some time. And while I was out at the Summit County Fair last week, I had somebody ask me, "Where's Bruce Musselman? How come he's not been on the radio lately?" And I was able to tell them, well, he's coming back to the air on August the 1st. And indeed, yesterday, Bruce was on the air again, Bruce Musselman with Where Is God's Word? And that'll be every Thursday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So let me encourage you to tune in to that as well. If you're a fan of Bruce Musselman and his program, and I've had the opportunity to help out with that a little bit. And so just while we were talking, he had mentioned about the Bible going into space, going to the moon. And I thought that's an intriguing thought. And I looked up some information on that because we just had on the 20th of July, the 50th anniversary of Apollo 11. First men to land on the moon, of course, Neil Armstrong being the first man to set foot on the moon. We just had that anniversary, and it really is interesting when we think about some of the things that happened with our space program and the Word of God and the things of God. And so we're going to touch on a couple of those things here today. And so let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer here this afternoon. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air to help Pastor Lutz here with For the Cause of Christ. Bless the program. Use it for your glory. Bless our program to follow as well. And just, again, help us to point people to Christ and encourage believers in their walk with you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says in verse number 14, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the earth to give light, in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and to rule over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day." Now here in the Genesis account of creation, here in Genesis chapter 1, on day 4, God created the sun and he set it in the sky, and then he also created the moon as well as the stars, and he set them in the sky as well. And the moon is something that people have looked at and speculated on and about for just about, I think, since the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve first looked up that first night that they spent there in the Garden of Eden. As they looked up into the sky, they saw the moon up there. I don't know whether it would have been a full moon or a half moon or what phase of the moon it would have been at the time, but it had to be spectacular looking up into that sky unspoiled by human lights. I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to look into the sky at night when there's very little artificial light. Artificial light causes what's called light pollution, and there's a few places that you can go to where there's a lot less light pollution than others. Certainly, I remember as a boy growing up in Richfield, Ohio, before too many of the lights were in the area, on a clear night, you could see the Milky Way, and you could see the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper and things of that nature in the sky, and the moon was just spectacular. Now, of course, in Richfield, there's too much light. You can see the Big Dipper, but it's hard to find the Little Dipper anymore, and you certainly can't see the Milky Way. But my wife and I, when we were missionaries planting a church in the Samoan Islands, we used to like to go out on a nice clear evening and just look up at the stars and look up at the moon. And the stars were just incredible. We were just below the equator, so we saw constellations a bit differently than we see them here. We saw some that you don't see here. And the Southern Cross, of course, was absolutely gorgeous. You know, it's amazing. God put the North Star in Polaris in the northern hemisphere and allowed people in the northern hemisphere to know what way north is as long as you had a clear night. Any time of the night, you could tell which way north is. The Polaris is always in the north. In the southern hemisphere, the Southern Cross always points to the south no matter what time of night. Kind of amazing how God designed that. And that's what he said. He talked about the lights to be in the sky and the stars included in these lights. And he said to be for signs and for seasons, for days and for years. Well, there's a sign, tell you where north is, tell you where south is. But one of the things that was most spectacular was to be able to drive along the coast road, because we were on an island out in the middle of the South Pacific Ocean. Sounds like a rough place to be, huh? But we were on an island, tropics in the South Pacific, and when you had a full moon that was just coming up over the ocean, and it traced this silvery path across the dark waters and lit up some of the foam on the surf when it's breaking across the reef. And what an absolutely gorgeous sight to behold. And then, like I said, to be able to look up and see the Milky Way just in spectacular brightness as it spilt across the sky. You can see why they called it the Milky Way. It looked like milk spilt across the sky, almost so many stars, but absolutely gorgeous. And this is something God created on the fourth day, according to Genesis chapter 1. He set them in the sky, and the moon, as the closest object to the earth, is something, as I said, that men have speculated for years. They've speculated all kinds of things about what might be on the moon. Everything from the moon is made of green cheese to there could be people living on the moon, or any number of things. People speculated. And as a boy, I remember 1969, July the 20th, watching, staying awake with my siblings and my sister, who was the youngest of us, kept wanting to fall asleep. We kept waking her up saying, "You got to watch this. This is history," as we watched the first men land on the moon as Apollo 11 touched down. And something that was rather interesting that took place during that landing is when they touched down on the moon, there was a time that they had to spend prior to being able to go out onto the lunar surface. And during that time, while they were sitting there, something interesting happened. Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin were in the lunar module, of course. And while they were sitting there waiting to be able to go out, Aldrin did something that really just the world did not know about it. The world did not know about it. And I'll get to the reasons why in just a moment. But NASA did not allow it to be broadcast. But while they were sitting there, Buzz Aldrin brought out the elements of the Lord's Supper. Now, he was an ordained elder at the Webster Presbyterian Church. That was his home church. I believe that was in Texas. And he got special permission from his church and from NASA to take bread and wine with him into space for an observance of the Lord's Supper of communion on the moon. And so, though people had already prayed in space, and certainly they were not the first ones even to orbit the moon, that was Apollo 8, I believe, that orbited the moon, Aldrin, before going out onto the moon, he actually observed communion in the Eagle lunar module that had landed on the moon's Sea of Tranquility during that period of time. And he brought out the things, and Aldrin later said, actually they said that they were aware that this is the culmination of the work of hundreds of thousands of people over more than a decade, and that everybody was watching to see what happened. Armstrong and Aldrin were very aware of what was going on, but Aldrin got onto the comm system and he spoke to the ground crew back on Earth, and he said this. He said, "I would like to request a few moments of silence." And of course, they did not broadcast this over the air to the world. This is just to mission control. He said, "I would like to invite each person listening in, wherever and whomever he may be, to contemplate for a moment the events of the past few hours and to give thanks in his own individual way." And at that point, he brought out the wine and the bread that he had brought into space. Interestingly enough, these were the first things ever eaten or consumed on the moon. He said, quote, "I poured the wine into a chalice that our church had given me. In the 1/6 gravity of the moon, the wine curled slowly and gracefully up the side of the cup." And he said that he later read some scripture and he ate that. Now, Neil Armstrong did not participate, though he observed quietly. The service Aldrin thought should be broadcast to the entire world, but the reason it wasn't is because Madeline Murray O'Hare, some of you might remember that name, she was a notorious atheist, anti-Christian, Christophobe, if you want to use that term, very active at that time, and during the Apollo 8 circling of the moon, on Christmas Day in 1968, they were the first people to orbit the moon, and they had taken turns, and they read from the beginning of the book of Genesis. And it's really kind of interesting because as they had the opportunity there to read from the book of Genesis, they were asked to say something, and they said this. Remember, this is Christmas Eve on December 1968. They said, "For all the people of the earth, the crew of Apollo 8 has a message we would like to send to you." And then with that, the people on board, starting with William Anders, he said, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light." And they continued with Jim Lovell reading and Frank Borman reading. And then Frank Borman concluded their statement with, "And from the crew of Apollo 8, we close with good night, good luck, a Merry Christmas, and God bless all of you on the good earth." Well, this so incensed Madeline Murray O'Hare that she filed, I believe, some grievances, and though she really wasn't completely successful, she sued NASA, I guess, but it still made NASA gun-shy about broadcasting anything religious from future Apollo flights, and so that's why they did not broadcast this to the world when Aldrin observed the Lord's Supper on the moon, even though he thought it should be. But what was amazing with this is when man first circled the moon, we find that the first book that's read from in space around and out by the moon was the Bible. It was the Word of God. And this is interesting, you know, because when we look at Psalm 138, verse 2, the Bible says, this is a psalm of David. David is speaking, and he says, "I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." And I like that. God magnified his word above all his name. And this is an important statement when you think about that. I believe this is why God led some people to read the Word of God, the Bible, from space on Christmas Eve in 1968, as they were circling the moon, first human beings to circle the moon. I believe it's why later on we find that a number of people took Bibles to the moon, and some of them came back, and at least one of the Bibles was left on the moon. In fact, it was left there by on Apollo 15 by Mission Commander David Scott. He was a member of St. Christopher Episcopal Church in League City, Texas, and he took a Bible on microfiche. It was a King James Bible, the same Bible that was read from by the Apollo 8 crew members in 1968 on Christmas Eve as they orbited the moon. And Apollo 15, David Scott had taken this copy of the Bible on microfiche, King James Bible, the only Bible to make it to the moon and back, the only Bible to be left on the moon. I had an opportunity in Akron some years ago to see a special exhibit that was put on the history of the Bible, and they had one of these microfiche Bibles there that had been to the moon, and several of them there. But it's really kind of interesting because I guess even as the world commemorates, of course, the Apollo landing on the moon, Apollo 11 landing on the moon, and all of these things, the church there just southeast of Houston, they always remember their small part because that church came together to put this to make this Bible available to Scott so that he could take it to the moon. Now, remember, this was the Apollo mission that brought the lunar lander to the moon. I remember that as they were driving around, bouncing around on the surface of the moon. Scott was the seventh person to walk on the moon. And when they landed there, Scott carried this little microfiche Bible. It had the entire King James Bible on microfiche. Some of you don't know what microfiche was. That's what they used to store stuff on, and they needed it in a very small space. So you can still, I think, find it in some library. They have special microfiche readers to be able to read these things. And they were able to bring some very limited amounts of personal items. And, of course, on Apollo 14 earlier that year, the astronaut Edgar Mitchell, he took 100 microfilm Bibles and King James Bibles, and he brought all of them to the surface of the moon, and he brought them back to the Earth. And many of them have gone around different places. I believe, actually, President George W. Bush, I believe it is, has one of them in his collection. And so when Scott was there on August the 2nd, 1971, just before returning to the Earth, of course, they did not bring the lunar rover back. They left it there, and it's been imaged from space by some of the probes that have gone around the moon since then. And he left the Bible that he brought on the lunar rover's control panel. And then he walked to a nearby hollow where he placed a memorial plaque and a statuette honoring the astronauts that had died in their missions. And then, of course, he then headed back to leave the moon. Now, that was kept secret, and nobody knew that it happened until after the event. And Scott has a book out called The Two Sides of the Moon, where he talks about this, and so it's really interesting when you think about it. There's more about some of the things that astronauts have done in space, but I think about that verse again, how God has magnified His word above all His name. Psalm 138:2, for Thou hast magnified Thy word above all Thy name. And He also said, in Psalm 68, verse 11, the Lord gave the word, great was the company of those that published it. And to think about that, from the time that the Bible was given, and it came in bits and pieces, book after book, the Old Testament, then the New Testament, and then it was completed by the end of the first century, and then it was copied, oftentimes burned and destroyed, and yet faithful men and women of God down through the centuries safeguarded it, secreted away copies of it, translated into different languages, often at great danger to themselves. Many people were actually put to death for translating and publishing the Word of God without the authority of the Roman Catholic Church. And just read the history of the Word of God and how we've come to get it. And then finally, we had a culminating in the King James Bible, which became the most published book in history and the most widespread book in history, and it still continues to be published. And there's commercial publishing houses that publish it, but there's numbers of churches and church-based ministries that publish the Word of God, and they send it out around the world. The Bible says His Word would not return void. It even went into space, even went to the moon, and it's there today. Someday, hopefully not the distant future, man's going to return to the moon. And when they look at that site where Apollo 15, where Scott placed the microfiche copy of the King James Bible on the control panel of the lunar module, it's going to be a testimony that people remembered that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And that includes the moon. God created the moon also. What a testimony to the Word of God, the only Bible, the only book to make it to the moon and back, the only book to be left on the moon, the Word of God, the King James Bible. Have you read it? I hope you have. It has the words of life, and it tells you how to be saved. Well, we're out of time. Stay tuned for our program in just a few minutes.
You have been listening to For the Cause of Christ with Pastor John Lutz from the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood. Pastor Lutz and the congregation would like to extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at any of their services. Sunday morning worship is at 11, the Sunday evening service is at 6, and the Wednesday Bible study is at 7 p.m. North Coast Baptist Church is located at 2051 Quail Street in Lakewood. For directions or more information, please call 216-521-3800. That's 216-521-3800. Or send an email to northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. That's northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. Thank you for listening. This program has been sponsored by the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood, Ohio.